Is Hugh trying too hard to make the pass happen?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get this week off, kicked off. I got my mic on. If you were on last night, opened the whole show with no mic. We're live. We're loud, and we're ready to go today. But before we get started and dive into this thought that maybe Hugh is trying to force something that is just not there, let's give a shout out to our boys at mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND and get that double up deposit on your bonus on your first deposit. Give them $100. They're going to give you another $100 back to play with. Hit that sports book, hit that online casino. Still tons of stuff. You got the NFL that just kicked off this week as well. Get in the action, get in the game. Mybookie.ag. If you have a wife, if you have a girlfriend, if you have an older daughter, you probably have heard about the movie called Mean Girls. And in the movie Mean Girls, there's a character that's trying to force a catchphrase, trying to force words to become a thing. And I think the famous line is, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to, you got to stop trying to make something happen. It's not there. And I'm wondering if Hugh is starting to suffer a little bit from trying to make something happen that maybe Auburn's not quite ready for at this point in time. Look, Hugh's background, Hugh's history is throwing the daggum ball, okay? Hugh's bread and butter has been the RPO, has been the ripping the ball down the field, has been having NFL wide receivers, has been lighting up scoreboards, scoring, winning games 40-30. Like that's kind of the brand that Hugh has always had on offense. That has been what his MO. He is an offensive guy. He's been a cutting edge offensive guy. And sometimes I had a really good conversation. I can't take full credit for this because it's not something that I really thought about, but I'm wondering if there is undue pressure that Hugh is putting on himself and honestly this team to be able to fit that, fit that idea of where he wants this team, where he wants to go, and we're just not there yet. I'm wondering if Hugh wants to be able to force the ball down the field. He wants to be able to throw the ball down the field, and maybe we either don't have the quarterback clearly at times. We don't have the quarterback clearly at times. And then maybe you have some offensive line stuff as well that's sort of limiting that. And it makes perfect sense if you really think about it. If you listen to me talk about what I felt like Hugh wanted to do in the opener, a lot of people thought he's just going to run the ball. That's what happened last year. We couldn't throw the ball. We're just going to run the ball and get out of there. I said, absolutely not. That's not who Hugh Freeze is. As a matter of fact, I think he despises that offense. I think it makes him sick. This is kind of like on Xbox or PlayStation when you find a play that works and it run. You hate it. You want to try other stuff, but dadgummit, you got to go back to that one play because it works every time, and then you end up running it multiple times a game. You put up good numbers, but it leaves a sour taste in your mouth. I think Hugh despises the offense that you had to run at times last year because that's not who Hugh is. That's not what he wants to sell, and that's not what he wants to be. So I know that. I kind of understand that, and I knew that in that first game, they're going to air this down. They're going to throw this thing all over the place. They're going to try their best to get these receivers involved. They're going to try their best to get the passing game going because that's who Hugh Freeze is. And sure enough, they go out in game one, and they throw the ball all over the place. Multiple receivers, deep balls after deep ball after deep ball. That is who Hugh Freeze is. I go back to thinking about that Auburn versus Ole Miss game in 2014 and the amount of vertical shots, honestly, from both sides, but the amount of vertical shots and up the seam and what he was able to do with Evan Engram and all those guys. Like, that is Hugh's identity. That may not be the identity of the makeup of this team at the moment, but that is Hugh Freeze's identity. And I think you had some success in the first game and you're thinking, hey, we do well. We are able to do some of this in practice. Let's just go with it. Let's continue to build on this. Let's continue to force it. Hey, I got some stallions at wide receiver that need to get the ball. I've got stallions in the stands that need to get the ball, that want to see us get the ball. I got quarterbacks in the stands that want to see us throw the ball down the field. And I think that for whatever reason you want to point your fingers at, and I totally understand if you want to put it all on Thorne, for whatever reason, this offense isn't quite there yet to be able to go vertical anytime, able to go vertical often. I don't think they're built quite that for that yet, and it may just be the quarterback. It may be the offensive line. Again, I just wonder the pressure that Hugh's putting on himself to be able to air the ball out, if it's to the detriment of this team at the moment. I'm wondering if you have to go to more of the ground and pound. You have to go to more of the read option. Again, it's a conversation I had. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, I totally get it. You got Perry Thompson sitting over there that you told you were going, and Cam Coleman that you told you were going to air the ball out. You told you're going to get the ball in the air. You're going to make them NFL wide receivers. And, you know, if you're not able to actually do what you said you're going to do, I can see how that would put, you know, some strain on you. That would put some issues in your message. That would put some issues in maybe your trust. That could break some trust. It could do a lot of things. But I just don't think this team is built to be able to drop back and throw the ball deep multiple, not just multiple times a game. That can't be the game plan. That just can't be the game plan. I mean, the team started off, they started off well. You started off good. You hit some shots. You hit a deep ball to Cam. But once things started to go south, once that first ball went off of Cam's hands and there was an interception, the old Peyton kind of came out, where I hold on to the ball a little bit too long. There's longer developing routes, and I'm not really comfortable throwing them open. That's just kind of who I am at this point in time. The play just kind of has to be there, and then I can make it. If the play's there, I can make it. But if it's a whole lot of moving me off my spot, or a whole lot of having to diagnose, or a whole lot of this or a whole lot of that, he's just not quite there. He's always a little bit late. Aaron Murray did a really good dive in that I think kind of shows this. I think Aaron Murray did a dive in on the quarterback play and the play calling to kind of cemented my, my take here. Because there was people open. There were people open. There were people open all over the place. But there were just some things when Peyton gets to that point, you can't run the deep outs. You can't run the deep drags that take a long time to develop. It has to continue to be quick stuff. But I have no issues if you're just in a vacuum. You look at some of the play calls. Again, you had guys open, you had options, but Peyton was just in that zone where it was a little bit too much, and the offensive line started to struggle a little bit. They got a little bit banged up, and they started to struggle, and it got to where you couldn't really even get into a situation where you could manufacture yards. It was really, really tough, and I'm just wondering if you need to go to a more win at all costs scenario versus a win under some type of brand. I think you got to go. You're going to have to switch to a win at all costs mentality. Okay. You're going to have to move away from where I want to be, where we want to be, and move into how do we win the next ball game. And it may have to be ugly. It may have to be. It may have to be Peyton getting more. If unless you make a quarterback switch and that and you make that switch and you feel comfortable that Hank or whoever you put in can run the offense that you envision. Otherwise, you're going to have to go back to ugly ball. You're going to have to go back to getting Peyton more involved in the run game. He does really well when he is running that read option. He's really good at reading it. He's sneaky, athletic. And unfortunately, that's going to probably only yield 100, 150 yards a game. Okay. It's going to look ugly. And more than likely, when you play teams like New Mexico, you're going to, if you go to that brand, you're probably going to get to a spot where you're not 100% blowing them out enough where you get other players time to play because you just don't have, I don't think you have the quarterback yet. I think you have one that can get there. But as far as the starting quarterback goes, I don't think you're there. I just don't think you're there yet. I think you got to go back to look at Cal's game plan. Okay. Have you ever heard of that quarterback before? He had one offer, I think, and I don't even think it was a Division I. I think it was Yale. He had one quarterback. He had one offer as a quarterback. I think it was Yale or somewhere, some similar school like that. And he absolutely lit it up because they game planned to protect him and they game planned to get the ball out quickly or take a shot to where you can't really turn it over. You take a shot that's only the receiver can make the play or it's going to be an incompletion. Those were the type shots that they took. The tight end, the little tight end dump pass. We did it one time and it picked up 15 yards. It was a big gain. Never really went back to it. Everything has to be kind of down the field, 10 plus yards down the field. And we either don't have enough time, we can't give Peyton enough time, or Peyton gets a little bit, at that point in time, gets a little bit too nervous and waits too long. The interception where he was hit had plenty of time. It was a great play call. I mean, it was an unbelievable play call. You had so much green grass. I cannot remember the receiver that was dragging across the top. It was probably Keandre Lambert-Smith. It was open. It was there. But he waited and he waited and he waited until it was too late. And then he got hit and it obviously turned into an interception. So if you're going to roll with Peyton, I just don't think you can play the style of offense that we've just seen the first two games. I don't think that you can continue to drop back for, you know, multiple seconds, drop back to let big time routes develop down the field. And I just don't think that's the style of offense that this team can go win right now. I don't think that's the style of offense that's not what your personnel, that when they say you build your offense or you build your team around your personnel, what I think we're seeing out of the offense right now is not built to the strengths of our personnel. And maybe you had a little bit of fool's gold with some of the stuff you saw in fall camp, some of the stuff you saw in the first game, maybe even some of the stuff you saw on the first drive of the game. But when the chips were down and it got a little tough, the Peyton that sort of created the brand of what you come to expect from Peyton showed up, and yet there was nothing you could do. There was really nothing you could do because he was going to struggle. Once there was that first interception, you could see it in his face. You could see it in his eyes. He was going to struggle. So what does that look like? What's the impact on the roster? What's the impact on recruiting if you do actually go to a small ball, bully ball, ugly ball type offense? We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with retirement results presented by Active Wealth. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your savings? What are you doing with your retirement if you're not 1,000% sure that you're on the right path? Ford Stokes can do that for you. You can go to retirementresults.com/plan and get a custom free portfolio analysis. Find out if you're paying too many fees. Find out if you're maximizing your Social Security benefit. Find out if you're taking advantage of products that could be helping you out exponentially. Ford's the guy for that. He's an Auburn guy. He's hurting. We texted over the weekend. Had his birthday over the weekend, too. So happy birthday to Ford as well. Tell him, War Eagle, tell him I sent you. Ford Stokes with retirement results presented by Active Wealth. So what does it look like to recruiting? What does it look like to the roster if you do go back to some of that offensive run that Auburn went on towards the middle of the year last year, where it's a heavy dose of running, heavy dose of double and triple tight ends, not a lot of receivers in the formation? What does that look like? I'm going to be honest. It's going to be a shock. It's going to be a shock to the system to a lot of the guys on the roster. Okay. Cam Coleman did not come to Auburn to block. Let's just be completely honest. Cam Coleman had no intentions of coming to Auburn to block. Perry Thompson had no intentions of coming to Auburn to be an extension of the offensive line. These guys came here to get the ball in their hands and make plays. And maybe you can figure out ways in that bully ball type, ugly ball type offense to make that happen. But I would say it's going to be a shock. I mean, there's going to be some guys that probably want to look elsewhere. I mean, you'll have to really convince them that this is not where you want to be. This is not where we're going in the future. This is not what we're building to. And I think there's a lot of truth there. And I think that there is a message there that can be sold. But hey, it's going to be, I mean, you're talking about guys that caught 80-yard touchdowns in the first game. And now if you want to be able to win, you're going to have to probably change that exponentially. You're going to see that's going to be a shock. That's going to be a shock to a lot of guys on the roster. But you know what's a bigger shock? A bigger shock would be continuing to do what you're doing and show that you're nowhere nearer to being where you need to be going into 2025, when 2025 is the year that you're selling that, hey, that's the year we're going to try to make a run. We're going to make a run. It's going to really, really make it tough for guys on the roster to sell that, hey, we're going to get there. We're just not there yet. It's going to make it tough. But winning, losing multiple games, losing, going 6-6, losing, maybe not even making a bowl game, is going to be far more of a shock to the system, far more of a shock to the roster than trying to figure out ways to win every single game, trying to figure out ways to win games no matter how it looks on the scoreboard, no matter how it looks style-wise. Winning matters. Winning kind of cures all, but I'm sure there's going to be some tough conversations if you have to go that way. There's going to be some tough conversations in the offseason. NIL is going to be a big part of more than likely have to be a big part of the offseason as well for roster retention if you have to go that way. But I just don't think you have any choice. Recruiting, a lot of the same thing. A lot of the same thing. You're trying to sell right now a five-star quarterback that you can – you're going to come in, you're going to throw the ball down the field. And I know they see things a little bit different than we see it. But if you have to switch to an offense that is, 3 yards in a cloud of dust type deal, where you're just pound, play action, not throwing for a ton of yards, not really lighting up the scoreboard, not throwing it vertical, I think it makes that job a lot tougher. But at the end of the day, if you don't win ball games, the recruiting is going to go down the tank anyway. So you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Do I continue to? This is what I'm selling. I'm selling this product that we're going to go vertical. We're going to light up the scoreboard. We're going to throw the ball and struggle to win games. Or just pray that you get better, and maybe you can. I guess that's not necessarily out of the equation. Maybe there's some things that you can find in the game Saturday that you can adjust, you can tweak to make it a little bit better. Do you keep doing that and selling it? So at least you can say, look, I'm selling it, but I just don't have the quarterback yet, or I don't have the offensive line yet. I need you, Andrew Babalola, at left tackle. I need you, Sam Turner. I need you, CJ Wiley. I need you, Deuce Knight. I need those guys. I need you guys. I need you, Usman Khroma. I need you to be able to, you see what I'm working with. I need you to be there to make it better. You could do that. That could be a route. But I think if you continue to put out the product that looks kind of the same over and over again, you're going to lose a lot of goodwill with the fan base. You're going to lose probably a lot of goodwill with the people that are, you know, forking out tons of money for On to Victory, for NIL. I think you just got to figure out how to win. And then you got to figure out how to win. And if that is the small ball aspect of offense, like you kind of did when you had your little run last year, you almost knock off Alabama, you almost knock off Georgia, doing stuff like that. You won several SEC games in a row. Doing that, I think that's kind of the route you have to go and just sort of adjust at the end of the year and figure out how to sell and pivot it, because then Peyton will be gone. You'll have to retool the offensive line again. You'll hopefully be able to convince a lot of these receivers to come back. But all in all, I think what Hugh has to do is decide where I want this program to go, where I want this offense to look like. Is it worth what we saw on Saturday happening over and over again? Is it worth that? Maybe it is. If you're continuing to play the long game, maybe it is, because it's one more year in that same type system for the wide receivers. And if you just get a different quarterback in, it can change some things. I don't know the answer, but I think winning has to be a part of the equation. I think understanding the importance of winning and getting to, you know, at least to where you look better in the box score at the end of the year than you did last year, I think that's got to weigh in big time. So we'll see what happens. Again, I'm not the end all be all. I just kind of call it like I see it. And it kind of looks like we're trying to force something that maybe we're not quite ready yet to see. This roster's not quite ready yet to be there. So we'll see what happens this week. See if there'll be a quarterback change. Hugh's going to say a lot in his press conference. I don't expect a quarterback change. Maybe a little bit of style change. Hopefully there's some type of adjustments that can be made, because the product on Saturday was pretty putrid. And that's got to be fixed. So we'll try to keep you up to date. If you're a member at thebarnauburn.com with your $1 membership for your first month, we'll keep you up to date hourly, basically, on anything that's developing. Otherwise, I'll be back here every single day. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. If you like this video, like it. And then follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. And we're going to be back again tomorrow, every single day, getting after it. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.